Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, Louise Henry from Go Laurel Highlands hosts Laurel Highlands Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and thisisgold.net.
This podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Also thanks to Rivers of Steel, a non-profit that celebrates southwestern Pennsylvania's industrial and cultural heritage through its historical and 21st century attractions, including tours of the Kerry Blast furnaces. Hello, I'm Louise Henry, and welcome to another episode of Laurel Highlands Happenings, featured on Westmoreland Saturday Morning on Westmoreland Gold, 98.7 FM and 1480 WCNS. This episode is part of the Laurel Highlands Happenings podcast series. Well, it's May, folks. Spring flowers are out. Grass is getting its first cut. And don't you just love the smell of fresh cut grass? I know I do. Things are looking up. Everyone seems to be getting their vaccines. Events are getting posted. Attractions are opening up. And I do see a bright light out of this tunnel. I have hit the bike trail just once so far, but I've made up for it with a fair amount of walks and hikes over the last month, and I do feel better for it. I was just at Laura Hill State Park enjoying some of the trails there at the weekend. If you're looking for things to do or thinking about a getaway to the Laurel Highlands, start by visiting golaurelhighlands.com for all your Laurel Highlands tourism and travel information. We have a ton of information on trails, state parks, historic sites, wineries, craft breweries, lodging, dining, and so much more. Today, my guests are Suzanne Reagan-Lentz and Jeffrey Pankey of Tissue Farm in Confluence. And they're here to tell us how they converted an old auto dealership into an awesome space for lodging, art, and even coffee. So welcome, guys, to Laurel Highlands Happenings. Good to have you on the show. How's things down there in Confluence?
Everything is going really well. It's busy right now. We're prepping to open the espresso shop on May 21st, and we have another restaurant on the other side of town that's probably opening sometime in June. So it's hopping.
Gosh.
After a very slow year, it's hopping.
We have a lot of balls in the air.
that's good. It keeps you busy, right? You know? So
definitely.
Yeah, you sound busy. So I asked you on the show because I think you have a really interesting story. I have been down to see you and your space down there, and I just thought, I've got to have you guys on the radio show to tell folks about, you know, your story, you know, what you're doing in Confluence, what your plans are. So let's start with telling the listeners who you are and go from there.
Well, I'm a graphic designer, and we're both artists. For years, we seasonally worked for an event called Burning Man out in the Nevada desert. And we'd always dreamed about having an artist residency program. And
yeah, we had bought 40 acres in the Nevada desert about 11 years ago. And the dream had always been to have an artist residency program there, but it was so remote that we just could never figure out how that was going to happen.
So we wanted to find something that was a little more farther along that we could kind of slide in and make it into our own, which kind of leads us probably to the next question.
Right, which is how did you get to the Laurel Highlands? I'm always fascinated because I'm an import myself, so I'd love to know how paths lead people to the Laurel Highlands. So how did you get here?
So I went to college. My best friend lives downriver in Ohio Pile, and I've been coming to Ohio Pile since I was in college. And there was at some point in 2018, he sent us the listing for this building. It had been on the market for a couple of years, and it sort of fit like all the boxes that we wanted to do. We started talking about the building for like 6 weeks. We were living in Seattle, and we've been there for 2 decades. I grew up in Maryland, so not far from here. It was a really interesting coming home.
Right. And I grew up in Idaho and spent my summers in rural Idaho as a river guide. So this area was very fitting for me to come to because it ticked all the points that I wanted to have as part of my life, which was all the recreation, the rafting, the biking, the hiking, everything is here. It seemed like a no-brainer. And then we talked about it for a bunch, and then we came out here and saw it July of 18.
To make sure it was everything that we thought it was, everything we thought it could be.
Right, and then we spent a week here, we spent 3 days in the building, and unfortunately when we left, we still hadn't decided. We had to go work a season for Burning Man like 2 weeks later, and so we decided to just wait until after that. But somewhere along that 6 weeks, We just
decided to buy it,
yeah,
independently of each other.
Right. And then we arrived here April 25th of 2019, and the rest is history, so to speak.
Right, right. I mean, it sounds like an absolutely perfect fit from what you're saying with your past history. And, you know, sometimes you see something and you've got that gut feeling, you know it's just right, and you've just got to go for it. And good for you guys. I love what you're doing. Tell the listeners some of the history of Tissue Farm, because it's really quite interesting. I was reading some of it on your website, but do share.
Okay, so when we arrived, the former owner had a one-page history of the building typed by the daughter of the woman who, the last woman who, Colleen, who was the daughter of the Sons who built this building. Anyway, in that history, it talked about the first sale of this property, which was formerly known as Tissue Farm. Since we read that, we've found out, and we didn't know this, like we just named it Tissue Farm because we thought that sounded really like a great name for the place. I was so sure that the next day I went down to Ohiopile and registered the tissuefarm.com. And then why it's named Tissue Farm is Captain William Tissue was one of the first pioneers out here, came over after the Revolutionary War. And he had 6 different farms around Somerset County, but he lived the later part of his life here. And this was a tissue farm until 1869, when Jacob Sterner, who owned the other side of town, bought it from his children. And, you know, there were, of the 6 farms, were the barn at Falling Water is the barn where all the tissue farm would store their wares. The house next to the barn at Falling Water is the last known tissue farm house. Yeah, so they were, and we didn't know any of that when we named it. We just thought it sounded cool. And now we have this whole tie into the whole county. But then so Jacob Sterner owned it, and he sold to his son in the 1880s, and he built a hotel on this piece of land called the Confluence House Hotel. And it was here for, it had 9 owners over 58 years. It was called the Confluence House. It was called the Gilcrest Hotel. There were 9 hotels on this row because the B&O Railroad was right across the street from our building. And so it was kind of a spicy end of town, so to speak. And then in 1941, the hotel had fallen into disrepair, and Ferdinand and Sedalia Sons bought the hotel at a share sale for $65. And they built this building on the foundation of that hotel. So when we walk down our basement today, there's 120-year-old walls that we touch, which is pretty great. And it was a Chevrolet dealership from the 40s to the 80s. And then it was just used as storage for a while until the previous owner bought it and did an amazing amount of work to bring the building to a certain point. And so when we decided to buy, it was kind of almost ready to go. We just needed to kind of finish a lot of things. And we're in that process right now. We've got a team here working with us. We're really fortunate of that. And some really great volunteers are out helping us. We have an intern who's going to be one of our baristas for the summer. Anyway, So we love it. We love the name. I love saying it every day.
I'm blown away by the history. I think it's great. Just like you said, you've got that connection to the whole county. I had no idea you had connection to, you know, the barn at Falling Water. That's pretty cool. Before we skip to the next thing to bring us up to date to what is Tissue Farm today, let me just do a very quick sponsorship message and then we'll get back to you guys, okay?
Sure.
So thank you to our sponsors, Rivers of Steel, a nonprofit that celebrates southwestern Pennsylvania's industrial and cultural heritage through its historical and 21st century attractions, including tours of the Kerry Blast Furnaces. Also, big thanks to Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Okay, you are listening to Laurel Highlands Happenings, and we are chatting to Tissue Farm in Confluence today, and we're just going to bring everything back up to date. So, Jeff and Suzanne, tell us, what is Tissue Farm today? What's your plans? Now you've had it, a couple of years now, and you've been working on it. Tell us what's going on down there.
Yeah, so Tissue Farm, you know, physically is a 12,000 square foot brick former auto dealership in Confluence, which is a trail town on the Great Allegheny Passage. We started Airbnb-ing two guest rooms shortly after we arrived in April of 2019. It was a really amazing experience to rent rooms and to meet people from all over the country and the world during that first season. We were lucky to have that before the pandemic. And we learned so much about Confluence and about the needs of tourists. I can't say enough good things about it. And it was really great from moving from because we moved from Seattle, from an urban area, to this rural small town. And so it was great to have that influx of folks,
right?
Of folks to meet.
Right. I get that. I was going to say, I think a lot of folks probably are using the Gap Trail. Am I correct?
They are. The Gap Trail, so in 2019, the numbers were like 900,000 people used it. And then last year, actually during the pandemic, it went up to 1.4 million.
Oh my gosh.
So it's been a huge bump. And I think it's, you know, people are having, like in the region, are understanding the majesty of that trail.
Yeah, and Confluence itself is positioned really well in that the two lengths that go out of Confluence up to Rockwood and down to Ohiopyle are two of the flattest sections of the trail. And so people like to come out here and just park their bikes and ride in either direction because it's a great day trip. And we're seeing the season expand quickly from early March to late November. People are out here all the time, just bikes everywhere.
Yeah, whenever there's a warm, sunny day.
Yeah,
there's people on the trail.
And that's not including the people that just come out to hike or go fishing and all the rafting. And
yeah.
I mean, there's just so much going on out here. And so.
Yes. So I was going to say, I do know a lot of folks will just do that segment, you know, Confluence to Ohiopyle or Ohiopyle to Confluence. It's a very favorite section of the trail. And you're right, you know, people use trail for more than just biking, too. Absolutely. So you mentioned Airbnb. So tell us a little bit about that.
So we have two guest rooms. There's the building, the top floor is an apartment that the Song family built above their auto dealership. To be their home. And so that apartment has been remodeled a number of times. But we have two guest rooms that overlook the Castleman River that are available to rent through Airbnb.
Okay. So I have seen your rooms and they're lovely. I love the apartment's very cool. So I have to ask, are you booked up for the season or do you still have some availability? How's it going with the Airbnb this year?
So it's actually people have been booking further in advance this year than they had in the past. And we have a pretty full June right now. We had blocked, due to COVID and because the guest rooms are in our apartment, we had blocked, like from November, we had blocked the cold months out.
Right.
So we reopened in June because we wanted to give ourselves some time to open the espresso shop. And then that quickly booked up, and we have stopped taking bookings right now, but we plan to, you know, depending on what happens, to reopen. You know, it's really about you know, vaccination rates and COVID. We're vaccinated, so we're very blessed about that.
Right, and with our with the espresso shop and also now with the cafe on the other side of town, we're trying to focus our energies to do those two things correctly. So the Airbnb is on pause until we can get back to open that up again.
Once we open them.
Yeah, once the vaccination rates get up a little bit too.
And we open the other places.
Yeah.
Okay. But for folks who are listening to this and, you know, are planning a trip to the Gap maybe down the road, can you give us, you know, the website address or you know, where they can search on Airbnb to find you?
Yeah, the website is The Tissue Farm, and it's tissue, TISSUE.com. We also have a Facebook page and Instagram.
And from there, that, you know, I'm assuming you've got, you know, the click on that and it takes you directly to the reservations page on Airbnb.
Yeah, it links directly to Airbnb.
Yeah, and if you just Google The Tissue Farm, you'll see all of those things in the first page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So with all that being said, you've got this espresso shop that's opening up, and all your time is busy doing that. So tell us about that, because that's opening up very shortly in May. So, share all about the coffees and lattes and teas you're going to be serving.
Yeah, so the espresso shop is in the former showroom, which was actually just a single room. They showed a car a year downstairs, and so we've been working on remodeling that space and making it into an espresso.
Yeah, we'd hoped to open last year, but of course COVID put a damper on that. But yeah, we are asked to try. We partnered with Commonplace Coffee out of Indiana, Pennsylvania.
They've been great partners for us.
Yeah.
And have very delicious coffee.
And we're doing a pretty simple menu of, you know, lattes, mochas, coffee,
lemon. There'll be
tea, chai.
And we have an awesome baker in town. Her name is Noelle Cole, and she's going to be making muffins and scones and cookies for us.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds perfect. Sounds great. So, so when do you plan to open? What's the date do you have for
opening? Our date is May 21st is our official opening. And we are having a soft opening the day before. We have Colleen Reeves, who is the daughter of Sedalia and Ferdinand San, who built this building. She's going to come and be our first customer, along with her daughter, Linda Sporling, who has written that original history of the building. And they've taught us so much about this space and this land.
And we just thought it would be a perfect little handoff from one generation to the other, that Colleen, the daughter of the people who built the building, would be our first customer. I lovingly found in the basement of the cement in the basement, I found a footprint of hers when she was 4 years old. It's still in the basement today. And we're really looking forward to having her here. She's a lovely lady.
Yeah, they met with us in like November of 2019 and walked us through the building and told us what it used to look like. And we couldn't, when we got here, there's a lot of pictures of this site when it was the hotel, and a lot of historical photos around town. You can see pictures of the hotel, but we couldn't find any historical photos of this building itself. And so they were able to provide that information for us.
know, like we had no idea that it was a gas station at one point. That was like, well, they brought us a bunch of photos and we're like, oh, there's a giant Esso stand and there's gas pumps.
Oh, it's a gas station.
Holy crap. We're really happy to have them here, and they've been so gracious, and they've really, and also the Tissue family, which has found us over the internet, you know, they've all been very accepting, and we're just, Jim, we're trying to pay homage to that. And we've always been about, you know, respecting what's been here before, and making sure that everything that we do out here is of this place.
Right. I think that is an absolutely lovely touch. I really do. It is very important to keep connected with your history and also community outreach too. So I think that's lovely. And I'm sure you'll be taking some photos you can post on social media so I can see. I think that's really nice.
Press release, I'm sure.
it's coming.
I was going to ask, what will your hours be for the espresso shop?
Our hours will be 8 to 3, Friday to Monday to start. And then I'm sure we'll be adding another day, either a Tuesday or a Thursday.
Yeah.
Right, you're just going to see how it goes with the customer flow. I'm sure it's going to get busy in the summer with people coming through on the trail. This is really exciting. I've seen your space. I can't wait to see it finished. So right next to where you can go and grab a coffee and a latte or some baked goods, you've got this big airy space, which is be the dealership, which you're now converting into an art gallery. And tell us a little bit about that.
That room is the reason I moved across country.
No pressure for the room.
Yeah, beautiful. When the light comes through those windows, it's really beautiful. So we are, and that was part, you know, that was the real, it's interesting, you know, that was the main driver of this building was the gallery space and having this artist in residency program. And then, but really to get those moving, we had to put in place the pieces that would make money to make that happen.
Well, and also, you know, the things that we have planned for this building required a little infrastructure out here. In other words, there wasn't really a coffee place, and there wasn't really another restaurant other than the, you know, there are some seasonal restaurants, which are great, but there's not a lot of annual. So anyway, we started with that, and now when those are a little more running, then we'll move into the gallery space.
Right. And the gallery space, I have to say, it is lovely. I mean, it's so light and airy, and I can see why you fell in love with it, because I'm sure with your art background, you just saw tons of potential, all the things you could do. So I'm very excited to see, you know, what you're going to do. Now,
in the short term, we have to remove a wall and do some painting.
Of course. Of course, there's always building work to be done. But I mean, tell us: are you going to be doing local artists? Or is it going to be you going to invite people in? Is it going to be juried? Just tell us a little bit about that.
The concept is to have artists come and work in the space and create art. You know, like so, they're either creating a show or they're creating an installation. But it'll be like the process of making will be a part of it.
We really wanted the space and the place of Confluence and the mountains out here to inspire them. And so that was always our main goal, was to bring people here and to give them a place to relax and expand their work and create maybe a new body of work, but use the place as inspiration because we find it very inspirational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, the views around here are breathtaking. I never get tired of driving around the Laurel Highlands with the mountain ridges and just the changes of colours throughout the year with the trees. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's tons of inspiration here for artists. I mean, and there's so many different mediums that they could do. I mean, what thoughts are you having? Do you have a vision, a plan for the gallery?
So it would be, we would have artists apply and they would be selected to be part of the artist in residency program.
We really haven't put any rules on what that can be because, you know, artists work in so many different mediums and so many different things. We haven't made any rules. There will just be submissions and we'll take each one as we go.
Okay. Now, with
and resources here, you know, like Touchstone Center for Crafts and Falling Water,
and the Compliments Creative Arts Center.
In town and Kentucknob. It's just like the architecture is amazing here, and there just are so many artists. I mean, we were so lucky to go to Cranky Fest at the Confluence Art Center right before the pandemic hit. It was in February of 2020, and they brought all these artists together and put on the show of different Crankies, which are it's an old time movie,
yeah,
like drawings that are on rollers,
yeah,
with music.
And for us, that was really the point where we realized how big of an artist community is out here, but we're all very spread out and we're all over the mountains. So there's a lot of us out here, and it's just about connecting everybody together. And, you know, everybody's got their place. Everybody's kind of doing their thing, and we're just kind of doing our thing as well. And then we hope to bring people, have people, you know, experience for people that are in town, you know?
Right. And I think it's a good point. You're there to lift everybody up, to inspire, create. And you're right, we are all spread out, but all good points. So you are hoping to open this gallery towards the end of the year, I'm assuming?
Yes, we believe that will be.
We believe that it'll probably by end of summer, we'll have it cleaned up enough that we can start, you know, talking to people. But we wanted to get through that. And again, we've been very fortunate to have some volunteers out here helping us for the summer. So we're making quick business of things that we thought would take a little longer.
Brilliant. Well, do you know what? We're almost out of time. Do you have anything quickly you could fill in 30 seconds you'd like to say?
No, I think we've touched on all of it.
Good. Well, would you like to share your website and social media? So people that are listening think, gosh, we need to find out more about Tissue Farm. Where can they find out the information?
The tissuefarm.com. We're also on Facebook at the Tissue Farm, as well as Instagram, and I'm not sure, is that at the Tissue Farm?
It's Tissue Farm on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, so on Instagram, Facebook, and of course the website. And again, the Tissue Farm Espresso, it will be opening on May
21st,
and that will be at 8 a.m., you said?
That will be at 8 a.m., from 8 to 3.
Brilliant. I hope you have great success with that, with your lodging and your gallery and everything. You've got a great concept. It's a great future you've got ahead of you. So good luck with everything, guys. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Louise.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Real pleasure.
This podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Also, thanks to Rivers of Steel, a nonprofit that celebrates southwestern Pennsylvania's industrial and cultural heritage through its historical and 21st century attractions, including tours of the Cary Blast Furnaces. You have been listening to another episode of Laurel Highlands Happenings on Westmoreland Saturday morning on Westmoreland Gold, 98.7 FM and 1480 WCNS. This episode is part of the Laurel Highlands Happenings podcast series. All events and businesses mentioned today can be found at golaurelhighlands.com, and if you are active on social media, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and YouTube.